This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Banks Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Banks, totally free checking, saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And this morning, we welcome from the Flathead National Forest, Michael West.
Hey, good morning, guys. Glad to be here again.
Yeah, good morning,
Michael.
Good
to have you here. Tell us, just for kind of refresh our memory, what your role is at Flathead National Forest.
Yeah, I work in fire management, so I'm a wildland firefighter. But then in addition to that, I do wildfire prevention and mitigation work for the Flathead National Forest. So as part of that, I'm a facilitator of our local Fire Safe Flathead group that tries to help the community understand issues around wildland fire.
Great. Well, now here in the next few weeks, we're going to start seeing smoke emanating from several places around the area. What's that all about?
Yeah. In the springtime, the spring and fall are, you know, two good opportunities for us to administer or implement prescribed fire. So we actually go out, you know, us and other land management agencies, and intentionally light the forest on fire to reduce the fuel accumulation out there in the forest, and then to try to bring back those natural processes that fire has, you know, these forests have evolved with fire for thousands of years. So it's good for them to burn if you can do it effectively.
So essentially what we're going to do is start a fire and control it.
Exactly.
How do you control it? Right? There's a containment area that you're looking at. Huh?
Yeah, correct. And it's pretty highly variable. A lot of the times we'll have fire line in place. I mean, that's one upside of doing a prescribed fire is it's a planned event. So we'll have, you know, if it's a timber harvest unit that we want to go out and burn that area where we did some timber harvest, it's for site preparation or to grow back a new forest. And Western larch in this country, they just love fire to regenerate or to start a new forest.
These are the tamarack. These are the ones that turn gold
colors.
Yeah, that turn gold in the fall. Yeah, if you want to grow back Western larch in Northwest Montana, burn it and burn it hot, and you'll get back a lot of natural regeneration for larch. So in those instances, the loggers will go out where we've done that harvest, and they'll use their excavators to put in a fire line around that area and to pull the fuel concentrations back from the edges of it. And then a lot of the times we'll have road access, and then we'll actually go in and put in our fire line and our hoses and water and get everything ready so that when we do, you know, light that match, we've got everything in place that we need to be successful.
Yep. So do you do this in cooperation with the logging that has happened there? You said that they put in a fire line.
Yeah. A lot of times that's just one example of when we use prescribed fire as a tool. It's to grow back desired species of trees here in Northwest Montana. And then in other instances, you know, we'll go out and put in the fire line, or we'll hire contractors to put in a fire line or a fuel break. And then in some instances, like in the late fall, we won't have any fire lines. We'll just know enough to know when certain areas are available to burn and the adjacent areas are not. Like, they're too wet. Like, you can use changes in aspect. You know, a south aspect, very dry, gets sun all day. North aspect, very moist, doesn't get hardly any sun. So just knowing that moisture differential and using different aspects, different fuels, riparian areas, wet areas, creeks, you know, so we may have some areas that we burn where only a portion of the area has a line on it or area we're planning to contain it. And then we just know that it's going to go out. You know,
so this is creating a future fire break for a potential wildfire that might spring up.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the other real upside of doing prescribed fire out in the forest is that then when a wildfire happens in July and August or early September, it runs into that area and it's fuel limited. There's no fuel there for it to burn. So it either, you know, stops it where you burned or it reduces the intensity to a point where it's really easy to deal with.
So how long does it take for this area to reforest?
It's pretty variable, but if we, in that first example I gave where we're doing harvest and using fire to grow back a healthy forest of, say, Western larch as an example, I mean, as soon as we will burn it, and within 5 years, we have to go out and certify that that forest is regenerated. So we'll go out, you know, 2 to 3 to 5 years after we've done that management to count the baby trees that are growing back and certify that, yes, we've regenerated a new forest. And it's amazing, the response. I mean, you burn it and within a few years, yeah, you've got seedlings everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're talking about reforesting an area. Mm-hmm. You burn it or you clear cut it. What's the difference as far as the reforestation?
Or both. You know, you may, like, so if we do a regeneration harvest, like in a clear cut or a seed tree or a shelter, where our objective is to grow back a new forest of desirable species, we may or may not burn it. We may plant it, or we may do excavator piles and burn the piles, and then underburn it, come back and burn it again. We may burn piles, plant it. We'll do a combination of different things, but the objective is just to ensure we get a forest back.
Yeah. Now, years ago, they would go in and mark specific trees for harvesting, and so you wouldn't have clear cutting, but the argument that I've heard for clear cutting is sunlight is allowed to penetrate in the area and the trees actually grow faster. I don't know which is true. I guess too much undergrowth in would not be good.
Yeah. It's so site specific, you know. And if we basically essentially come out and say, hey, we need to regenerate or start a new forest here, whether that's a clear cut, a seed tree, or shelter wood, whatever version of that we're doing. It's for the right reasons, because we have people that know that that's what needs to happen. And a lot of the times it's either an insect and disease issue that we're trying to deal with, like say a whole bunch of root disease in the Douglas fir and it's all dying out and it's going to become a fire hazard, or it already is a fire hazard. So then we'll go in and do a regeneration harvest to try to grow back other species like larch or ponderosa pine. Or in an instance like lodgepole pine, if folks are familiar with lodgepole, they like to, like, go up the North Fork, you'll get pretty familiar with lodgepole pine pretty quickly. But there's a lot of trees per acre, and they like to grow really close together. But they also really like fire. So they'll grow up, and in 100 years, you'll get a stand replacement fire that, you know, basically wipes out the forest and starts over. So a lot of times clear cutting is the right method when you're in those lodgepole pine stands, because that stuff, it's really shallow rooted. It's hard to thin it. If you thin it, a lot of the times, you know, the wind picks up and it just blows it all over. So a lot of the times that clear cutting actually mimics the natural processes when you're in that lodgepole pine.
Now, you've mentioned infestations and root disease. Does fire actually cleanse the forest of those problems?
It can help, certainly, yeah. And in some instances, it can exacerbate it too. You know, if a forest is already struggling, you know, because it's fighting off root disease and it has some beetles, and then a fire runs through there, sometimes the fire can be the nail in the coffin. You know what I mean? Like, the tree's already falling off a 10-story building, you know, and then the fire hits it, you know, before it hits the ground. It's like, yeah, sometimes it can not be the right thing to do too. Okay. So we're very thoughtful about when and where and why we do what we do.
Well, let's talk a bit now about the effect of prescribed burns with Michael West right after this.
You look around Columbia Falls, the stunning mountains, crystal clear lakes, beautiful valleys, and litter? Spring has revealed the need for caring people to tidy up our town. This is Caleb Bauman with Glacier Bank, member FDIC, hoping you'll help us clean the falls April 27th. Meet at Glacier Bank, 822 Nucleus Avenue at 9 a.m. Students, clubs, service organizations, moms, dads, kids, and grandparents, everyone who cares about our community is welcome to help. After picking up the trash left behind this winter, lunch will be served by the Columbia Falls Lions Club and fantastic prizes will be awarded. It will be a great day, one Glacier Bank is proud to be a part of. Questions? Come by Glacier Bank in Columbia Falls or call us at 406-751-4767. Thanks to you, our town will shine again.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
Today we're talking with Michael West of the Flathead National Forest. Prescribed burns is what we're talking about. And are there times that you sort of mentioned, are there times we shouldn't be prescribing a burn in an area?
Yeah, certainly if it's too hot and dry and windy, mm-hmm. you know, that's not a good time to play with fire,
sure.
obviously, or to
yeah.
even use fire as a tool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I can't recall the exact statistics, but it's, 98-99% of our prescribed burns do go as planned. But there's that 1% or less than 1% that don't. So yeah, certainly if you're considering pile burning, using prescribed fire, even to burn grass or just whatever you're considering to mm-hmm. do on your property, we have local experts like myself and other folks that'll, help provide some guidance. But yeah, it would certainly, for us and for anyone out there wanting to use fire as a tool, definitely hot, dry, windy, any combination of that, especially in the fall, could be problematic.
Well, can these prescribed fires be dangerous?
Yeah, in those scenarios, certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the largest wildfire in New Mexico's history was an escaped prescribed fire, so it can definitely happen.
When there's a pro like you out there and your team out there doing a prescribed burn, that's one thing, but should a homeowner attempt something like that?
They can, and there's resources out there within the state, and there's a new group, actually. And this is a great segue. There's a new group formed up in the state of Montana. It's a Montana Prescribed Fire Council that the Montana Department mm-hmm. of Natural Resources and Conservation. So yeah, there is a big push, throughout the state of Montana to increase the use of prescribed fire, and not just on the national forest or public lands, but also on private lands. So they're forming up this group to help homeowners or landowners become more comfortable or gain the knowledge that they need to use fire as a tool, or to bring experts in to help them out.
Yeah. It's been brought up to us before, perhaps even by you, that there are people who come to this area and their dream is to own 40 acres of forest and have their home right in the middle of it. And I share that dream.
Yeah.
Only I grew up here and we mm-hmm. actually had a place like that out by Echo Lake when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, these days you better know how to take care of that forest.
Oh yeah, yeah, you better, if you're gonna live out in the middle of the forest, you have a responsibility to take care of your forest and to, protect your assets from wildfire. Waiting till the last minute, waiting till there is a wildfire, waiting till, I show up to deal with that fire on a bad day, it is not the day to be thinking about what could I do? What should I do? What could mm-hmm. I have done? Definitely every year, if we do that spring cleaning, it's smart to, reach out. There's a ton of resources out here through FireSafe Flathead, or the state of Montana, the Forest Service. There's a ton of people, Flathead County, that want to help folks understand how to be prepared for wildfires. So yeah, definitely caution folks to think ahead. Don't wait until that bad day in August to wonder what you woulda, shoulda, coulda done.
Well, there's even neighbors. Even neighborhoods now that are out in forested areas are along to what they call the urban,
the wildland.
Wildland urban interface,
yeah.
And maybe as a group, as a homeowners association, you should talk to guys like you.
Yeah, exactly. And we do have a lot of homeowners associations come to our monthly FireSafe Flathead meetings. Mm-hmm. We're not meeting this April. We just had too many schedule conflicts, too much stuff going on, but we meet every month at the state office over here, and anybody's welcome to come. And I would like to put a plug in for May 4th. We're doing and it's open to the public, and the intent is to get the public out there to the Tally Lake Campground on May 4th from 11 to 3 o'clock. And snacks provided and some drinks.
Ooh.
And we have a 180-acre prescribed fire that we did right there next to the Tally Lake Campground that folks are... there's a trail that goes through the campground or through that prescribed burn unit. So we're going to mm-hmm. break up into some groups and do a tour or walk through that prescribed fire area and talk about why we did it, how we did it, so folks can start to understand a little better. And then there's also a road access for folks to, you know, who are unable or would like to, you know, not hike. So,
wow. Okay. Is that the fire tour we're talking about?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let's dive further into that after this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do looks matter? In this case, yes. You're here with Cambria Ulrich for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. If you take pride in the way our town looks, and we have a feeling you do, you'll help clean the fish April 27th. Caring locals gather at Glacier Bank, 319 East 2nd Street at 8:30 a.m. Coffee, juice, and breakfast in the parking lot, then out into nearby neighborhoods to tidy things up. Trash bags, gloves, and reflective vests will be provided. Back at the bank, lunch is served at 11:30. High fives and big thanks for all your hard work, plus prizes. A $100 gift card for adults and two bikes in different sizes for kids. Glacier Bank appreciates you being there for cleaning the fish and for taking pride in our community. The way our town looks makes a difference. What truly matters? Your caring.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Great update today from Flathead National Forest, Michael West. We're talking about prescribed fire burns, and you have a prescribed fire tour coming up. What's the date for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, May 4th.
May 4th,
yep,
okay.
It's a Saturday, and we intentionally did that on a Saturday, so it'd be a little more accessible for folks who have to work during
the week. Is this family-friendly?
Yes, yeah, okay. Certainly.
All right. How can someone participate?
They can go to the Fire Adapted Montana Learning Network, and they can. There's an RSVP, so we'd like folks to respond to the RSVP. We're trying to limit it to 50 folks, so anybody that's interested can go to that Fire Adapted Montana Learning Network and RSVP, and then we will take a walk through an area that we had burned. I believe it was the spring of 2018. But before we burned the entire area, we had thinned the understory. So it's an old growth stand. So it's a stand that has never been logged or really messed with. And it's just right there along the north shore at Tally Lake, right along the campground. And essentially, we can enhance or maintain old growth. And since that area had not burned in, well over 100 years, and it had burned regularly, before we started suppressing all wildfires here 100 plus years ago, that we went in and we actually thinned the understory or cleared out a lot of the small trees and brush and picked up a lot of the dead and down stuff that had accumulated on the forest floor. And we piled all that material and burned the piles. And then we came back the next spring and then burned the area in its entirety. And really, really great results. Really neat that it worked out the way that it did. I've put on a lot of miles in that area between administering the contract and then burning the area, and just trying to bring it back more into its natural fire regime. And now we plan to burn it here again in the next 5 to 10 years.
No, wait a minute, I want to be sure I understand this now. It's old growth timber.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be lost?
Well, that's the objective or why we want to. No, it's still old growth.
Yeah.
So it started out as old growth, and we wanted to remove the hazardous fuel component to it so that if a wildfire happened, we're not going to lose the stand. It's not going to kill all of the trees.
So these trees are going to remain even after the fire is over.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why, after we did the prescribed fire, these trees are still there. They're happy. They're healthy.
So this is going to be real instructional for somebody who has a place, like John was saying, 40 acres surrounded by trees and growth. How can they effectively use a prescribed burn to clean things up? You mentioned doing work and having burn piles and having a multi-year project. So that could be really... What all is involved in the tour? Now, what time does this start? Anyway?
It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning and goes to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's just 4 hours there in the middle of the day. And we'll show up and do a little meet and greet and have some snacks. Yeah.
I knew you'd get Robin's attention.
And then we'll, a little meet and greet, some snacks. You know, we'll describe the, you know, the big picture and the objectives and the why we did what we did, and kind of front load everybody with some good information. And then we'll break up into groups, you know, and then we'll take off walking or along the road or along the trail, whatever folks are capable of doing. And then, you know, tour through the prescribed fire area. And then each group will have a leader who's, you know, experienced like myself and with the, you know, using prescribed fire that'll help kind of talk them through it. And you'll be able to see some of the before and after, because if you can see the area where it's untouched that's next to the treatment we did. And then you can see the area that we treated, and it's a pretty stark difference.
Does everybody need to be there at 11 a.m., or is this going to be staggered groups during that period of
time? No, everybody will come at 11, and then we'll kind of stagger out and walk and come back in. But, it's just 11 to 3. It's pretty low-key. It'll be a lot of fun for folks that are interested.
Yeah, it's picking up that brush and old... That sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
It's backbreaking work.
And it's expensive if you're going to pay someone else to do it. Yep.
Yeah.
But it's really important if you're looking at protecting. If you look at your forest or your property as an investment, and you're looking at protecting that forest or protecting your assets or property, then it's a great way to protect those investments or protect your assets.
Probably not a good idea to do it by yourself.
I remember when I was a kid, we only had an acre, but we had a bunch of clear out and going to have a burn. And so my dad invited all the neighbors down for hot dogs and marshmallows, you know, so that it wasn't a problem. It was a community event. Worked out good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can recall doing similar with my grandfather out on 206, you know, he had a patch of ponderosa pine out there. And we would go out, not every spring, but frequently, and it would just be him and myself or some other little kids out there, you know, and we would get the hoses out and we'd burn that pine stand, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, Robin lives in the ponderosa pines where he is.
Yeah, that's true.
He loves the needles.
Oh, yeah. Spring and fall, I love the needles. But, the fact is that those trees are fire resistant. The bark is so thick on them that if you keep them trimmed down, it'll last for hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah, a long time. Yeah, ponderosa pine especially evolved with fire. And it's interesting, they actually studied ponderosa pine bark when they were developing the tiles for the space shuttle.
Is that right?
Because really? They could withstand so much heat.
Wow.
That they were actually looked at the makeup of, like, how did nature create something that can withstand that high of intensity of fire so well that, you know, the scientists wanted to understand how to mimic that.
Man.
All right.
Yeah. This has just been a great visit. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope people will come out and view that area up at Tally Lake.
Yep, and just remember to RSVP through Fire Adapted Montana Learning Network. Thank you.
All right.
Michael West, thanks so much. It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.